you're looking for one of the most beautiful and playable custom acoustics on the planet, look no further than Ed Rice at Toe Ear Guitars. Ed is a true artist, transforming exotic woods into magnificent, sweet-sounding instruments. Go to toeearguitars.us, that's toeearguitars.us, and contact Ed today.
Hey everybody, Brad and I want to say thank you for listening and thank you for the support. Please continue to listen and share this podcast on all platforms that you can.
And if you'd like to support us monthly, we're set up now where you can go to anchor.fm/Top Hill Recording, hit the support button, 99 cents, $4.99 or $9.99 per month. Any amount would be greatly appreciated. Now back to the podcast. Top Hill Recording Podcast, episode 150. What's up, Neil?
150, man.
150.
We did
That's kind of special. Yeah.
I guess, yeah. Wait, 150 and like 3 years plus. Officially,
yes.
This is our...
Yeah. Yeah. So what, December...
Congratulations. Just December 20th, 2019.
Yep. Yeah. All right. 3 years. We did it.
We did it.
Who would ever thought it?
Who would have thunk it?
So we got some... Old Forester tonight, right?
Yeah, man.
Courtesy of Brent. Thank you, Brent.
Brent.
Hey, thanks, buddy. Stepping up my game, I told you.
Yeah. And we got Bedford with us tonight. Welcome, guys.
Yeah, guys. Thanks for coming.
Hey, hey,
thanks for making the drive.
Us. Yeah.
Hey.
Cheers.
Cheers, you guys.
Cheers.
Yeah.
All right.
Do we have to look each other in the eyes?
You don't have to.
Yeah, not only do you have to look each other in the eyes, but you got
to
do
both
it
hands.
And deeply. You know, really deeply into the, you know.
I don't know the courtesy yet.
Oh, that's good.
That's good, man.
Yeah.
It just never goes wrong. Hey, I got some Wilderness Trail for Christmas. Have you ever had that?
I think I have, yeah.
It is excellent.
Yeah.
Is it in the smooth.
Same, is it in the same bottle as like Calumet?
Where? Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Oh,
the
no,
nicer.
No, yeah, I know. Yeah, I know what you're talking about. Yeah, but I have had that. It is good.
Man, oh, man. I should have brought it. But it would have probably been gone already, so I'm glad I didn't. OFO it is.
Well, let me tell you about these guys before they introduced themselves, man.
Right.
So, you know, we knew we wanted to have them on the podcast and on one shot. And we had a late cancellation, so I talked to Tristan on Sunday. I said, man, you guys think you could move it up to tomorrow night? He said, man, give me a couple hours. I'll get right back to you. And they made it work.
Oh, man.
So we appreciate that, fellas.
We're in debt to you, fellas. Thank you all.
We're
seriously
excited about having you guys in here.
And it ain't like they're, you know, right down the street.
No.
Had to make a bit of a trip.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Lexington, right?
Lexington and Moorhead.
Yeah.
And Moorhead.
Oh, okay. All right.
Well,
yeah.
Why don't you guys go around the table and introduce yourselves?
Well, I am Tristan Frazier. I play drums and sing some.
My name's Sam. I play the bass. What's up?
What up?
What's up?
Nice to meet you guys.
Yeah,
dude,
you
nice
too.
Nice to meet you.
My name is Colby. I play guitar and strip.
Do you really, or is that?
I just wrote it down, so I, regardless, it's fact
does,
now.
He does private things.
It's on the internet.
It's mostly just me.
I'm still a caveman. I don't have an OnlyFans yet, so I do it the old-fashioned way.
Oh, man, he makes appearances. The only thing he wears is a mask if asked.
This doctor makes house calls.
Yeah, he's got that shirt down a little low tonight, man.
He does,
he's,
man.
Well, that's high for him.
Well, you almost see the belly button.
That man over there.
I'm Trevor.
Are you sure about that, man?
It's Trevor.
Yeah.
All
and
right.
Was born in 1997 in Mount Sterling. And
what's your social?
My email is trevorstjohn44@gmail.com. No.
That's real.
That
he said no. I was like, yeah, that's real, man. You said that rolled off way too smooth. So if any, slide into the emails.
Yes, sir.
Well, fellas, thanks again for being here, man. Why don't you all start us off with just giving us a little bit about the origin of the band. How did Bedford come about?
Well, since it was your road, Sam.
Ooh. Well, I just took a drink of that. Forster. a little hoarse right now.
It's all right. It is already empty, man. You nailed it.
Oh, he shot it down. That wasn't a shot,
I just
man.
Poured a little bit.
Oh, okay.
I'm not a big drinker, but that stuff is pretty.
You, I couldn't tell from your empty glass, man.
Yeah, I know.
Ah, you did it good. You did it good.
But
Trevor Bedford, just took a drink and coughed and hacked a little bit, man. What's up with you guys?
Pretty hot. Like, honestly, it's pretty hot bourbon.
We're not huge drinkers, honestly, besides Colby.
Colby's the drinker.
Yeah, Colby's a drinker, but
his pinky was out when he was like, yeah, just had it down, man.
Oh yeah, he's a fancy man.
I wasn't gonna make a scene, but now I am the king of liquor.
Yeah, he's the king of liquor. He's like, if you watch Trailer Park Boys, he's Jim Leahy.
Yeah. Okay, that's going a bit far.
He's not like the town drunk.
I'm more like Jim Morrison.
There you go.
Liquor just king. As bad. I can do anything.
Don't take baths, man. Don't take baths. Showers only for you if you drink like Morrison.
All right, Sam. Sorry, man. We got sidetracked.
No, it's all right. Bedford came from, you know, me and Tristan and Trevor have been in a band since we were 12 years old.
12? Really?
Oh, yeah. We've known each other for a long time.
It was called Truancy.
Yeah. Well, let's go back there. So you guys are in middle school and you put a band together?
So I met Trevor in sixth grade homeroom. And then I'd known Sam because we went to the same elementary school, but we weren't, you know, like best friends or any mean by any means. And then me and Trevor start jamming. And then there's a talent show. And so like last minute, we're like, Sam, come sing Seven Nation Army. We got our other buddy Lucas to play bass only because he was good at Guitar Hero bass. So it worked out. And we were like, Trevor kept skipping or whatever. And the vice principal was like, you guys should call yourself Truancy. And it stuck. And we did.
The BP named him, man.
It did.
Oh, God.
That was our name.
Our crane.
Yeah, our crane. Oh, God.
Truancy, 12 years old. How'd it go with the talent show? What kind of response?
Good. The bass didn't work.
Yeah, I remember that.
Thank God he only knew how to play on
it. It may have been the same stuff we used in the basement, you know? Yeah. And it's like on a stage and in the basement's kind of different.
We haven't had good experience with like talent shows or anything like that. Usually because like, well, sorry, Sam. We did one as Truancy years later.
Sam's like, oh, shit.
There was somebody before us that was a classical pianist. And Sam, to his credit, had no idea that was happening. And we just thought it'd be funny if he went up there and said, who hates classical music? And like, raise your hand. And they did not like that.
We lost that.
Hard. Bad. But, hard. You know.
It was pretty rad, though.
It was fun. Yeah.
But then me and Tristan started playing worship music, and we got out of rock and roll.
We stopped playing, like, together for throughout high school. And then we got back together when we were like 17, turning 18. Like, yeah.
I was going
October,
back from
October of 2015.
And that was Bedford and Company.
Mumford and Sons.
Bedford and Co. Yeah.
We were like
an
indie band.
We named it after the road that I lived on.
Bedford?
Yeah. Bedford, yeah.
Man.
That was a great guess.
That was a good guess.
What was your guess?
Bedford. It's like, hey, come on, man. Come on.
So we're real creative.
You took a church playing hiatus, huh?
We were playing in church. Like, mm-hmm. Me and Trevor played for like the IYC band and stuff. Like, that was our thing for a while.
What's that?
It's the youth band, man.
Yeah, like International travel. Youth Convention. We played in Nashville and Florida. Played for like 10,000 people at one thing. It was a lot.
What was that? Texas? What?
Texas, San Antonio. Played in there. Played in Michigan.
He met his wife on the bus.
I met my wife because of IYC. See, everything happens for a reason because that's how I met Sarah. And then we were coming back from one of those gigs and Sam was like, what are we doing? We should be playing music together. And sure enough, we did.
Yeah, man. We have themes in this during this podcast. This is episode 150, and there is a lot of like church start and influence in young musicians. And I do believe it's because nobody's going to tell you at church you suck and get off the stage,
Although it did happen, though. Yeah. Like, you got to realize.
Sam, tell them about what happened to you.
Yeah, they just totally Like, I was playing with them in the church, and then for some reason, they just totally replaced me.
This is a new
and
pastor.
And I stopped playing music.
A new pastor came in and his son wanted to be the star child. Sam was the front man, and his son was like, I want to do that. And so then VP was like, oh, sorry.
And Sam's like...
GP, I mean...
General practice.
General, random name inserted, was like, you know... You're not rock. You're too rock and roll to be a front
Sam
man.
Sam wasn't really into
Sam
like
was the
Christian religion yeah. either. Like Sam,
you're
was
gonna
just
have
kinda
to start
there
shaking
to
your hips, boy.
Yeah, I was kind of there just to like play music.
Yeah.
I mean,
which we weren't. We were kind of devout Christian.
No, we. I was into it.
I really
believed
was.
In that
My
stuff.
Family was in it, and you know.
Well,
but
so. I guess I was wrong. I guess they will kick you out, but
yeah,
it's still
like,
a very
yeah,
nurturing
real,
space.
Yeah.
Only if the preacher's son wants to,
I mean,
yeah. wants to be involved.
My
I mean,
preacher's son
I think
was the
that
baddest.
Was just that one thing.
Yeah, I don't
think
we
churches around here will do that.
Yeah. No.
But like when you get down into like the South with like the big black gospel churches,
yeah.
oh absolutely.
Oh, yeah,
there's many people that will vouch, you know, you'll be playing and stuff, you'll get a tap on the shoulder. You gotta walk out because
yeah,
you gotta pass it to the next guy.
Yeah, there
hey,
you go.
Will you just move your mouth and quit singing?
yeah. Stop. You, yeah.
Mute.
No more.
Mute the mic. Put on a backing
third
track.
Third row down, second to the right.
So, Kobe, how did you get in?
Have we got to that part of the story yet? Or
is
there anything
well,
else to?
We did Bedford and Company until we got into college and met Kobe.
Yeah. Then I was a sophomore at Moorhead, and y'all were freshmen. Yeah. God, that was so long ago now, and I barely remember it. But they had a bass player at the time named Jared Litterer, and he had to have butt surgery. For 1 week. It was court days in Mount Sterling and an SAE homecoming party at Moorhead. And he was out. And they needed
for
a bass
butt surgery.
Player. For butt surgery.
I hear they're a real ears. Pain in the ass, those butt surgeries, man. I had to.
The pollen idol cyst.
Oh, it was a cyst.
Ah.
Yeah.
I had one.
It's,
I don't know what I'm talking about.
That's butt surgery to me.
I had butt surgery.
But
that's a really bad ingrown hair, right?
Oh yeah, buddy.
I thought he had one of those Brazilian butt lifts.
He did not need one.
It looks fantastic.
It's like he's always wearing heels.
Magnificent.
Now the whole world knows he's got a big ice cream scoop out of his ass.
Sorry, Jared.
Sorry, dude.
Double fudge. Roast. That's a pork roast right there. But they needed someone to fill in on bass, and I can't remember who was messing me, either Tristan or Trevor. They needed someone just fill in on bass for that weekend, and then after that, it's like, you want to like play guitar? Because we. Also, side note with that, there's a program at Moorhead, the commercial music program, and all of us were in it. And so that's how I met them.
It was like rock and roll class.
It's a rock and roll degree. Yeah. But I filled in and, after that, like I played guitar in that ensemble for that class. And after that, it's like, you know what? I guess in y'all's heads, it was, let's try two guitars. You know, let's see where that goes. And at the time, yeah, it was more of like an indie kind of thing going on.
It was two guitars and acoustic and bass and drums. It was a lot. Yeah.
But nothing
we
against.
We were into rock from the very beginning of this, you know.
Yeah, like we were. We just...
I would say
our story was a lot of years, and you'll notice this in the story of Bedford again when we get to it. A lot of second guessing, a lot of how can we fit in to a mold that's... not really who we are. And I think now, in the last year, it's been like, we know what we want to do, we know who we are, and we're proud of it. But
wow,
it's cool to hear the story even for me, because I'm like, dang, we second-guessed ourselves so many times, because Trevor's right. From the start, it was School of Rock, Guitar Hero, like, it was loud rock and roll music. I remember doing it in the middle school gym, man, you know, like,
we kind of went through an identity crisis in college.
Several.
We were into different music. We were into different songs, I guess, would be.
Yeah.
In high school, you know, like.
But, yeah.
We were, like, 4 years older than we were when we stopped in eighth grade, you know, as seniors.
Yeah. I was always, at the time, I was like a closed-minded individual on when it comes to music. It was rock or bust, pretty much. Mm-hmm. And so, like, everything I did, I couldn't fit the indie format. I personally, as a player, just never could really get into that and mimic
Colby
it.
Doesn't
as
a, conform well.
I don't conform to society. I'm a rebel through and through. I don't care.
All right, so let's kind of go back a little bit and talk about that, because it's interesting what you kind of said it was identity crisis, which a lot of times in those situations, especially when you're starting out young, you've got to go through the struggles to kind of figure out what the sound is. But it sounds like you were trying to, a lot of times young guys, young bands, young groups of anything try, we want radio, we want to be on the radio, we want to, you know, we want to make this our existence, we want to be these huge things. And then, you know, then you, if you really break it down, listen to the radio, it doesn't sound like a bunch of guys with instruments or anything like that. So, I guess what was it? You say indie, but like, what was the lane? You mentioned Mumford and Sons. Was it that type of stuff?
Back to Bedford and Company, it was definitely Mumford and Sons. Yeah. But I would say in early college, we had a angsty phase, mm-hmm. a little bit, where we got really into Nirvana, really in, because we were playing, you know, that's when we started playing Where Do You Sleep Last Night, let's Chasing This Feeling.
Let's take a look at the initial EP, like those yeah. four songs on there, okay? Mm-hmm. We got Brace Yourself, which was trying to be a
country. Mumford and Sons, we named ourselves Bedford and Company.
Yeah.
how much more obvious is
that
it need to be?
That was an attempt to be Mumford and Sons. I don't think we went anywhere near it. If you listen to the song, it's kind of very bland and funny. It sucks. Exactly.
But it's okay.
Yeah. How old were you on this EP, by the way?
17.
I was 17.
Wow. And it was like, you know, we're graduating high school, so it's like, brace yourself. And that's the whole thing.
Those songs, you know, I don't look at them that way, man. I look at them with gratitude that they happen, because it taught us. Like, it's true. I don't know. I'm very like, it happens for a reason, fate kind of shit. I don't know if I can say that word.
Was but nice.
Yes.
There's some more bluesy stuff on
there.
That
is. There
EP,
no, it's like,
know, like,
I won't think twice. You hear the, like, it's bad because we're 17, yeah. but you hear the format of, okay, these guys want to rock. They just don't know how yet. Or they're
the
being
time,
told they
I was
can't.
Really into SRV. You yeah, know, and that's who, yep. that's yeah. who I'm trying to sound like the entire time.
Yep. I hear it, and
for all those out there that want to hear our embarrassment almost, you'd have to look up Bedford and Company. It's not under Bedford. We refuse. But we also don't know how to get rid of it either.
I'll leave it up there. It's fun to look back.
Like, we have our first video we ever recorded still out there on YouTube.
Yep.
Tristan and Trevor rocking out.
Yep. And there's
12 years old.
Yep. There's something that I always like. I think Brad was going along the same line here, but just to hear, especially when you're as young as you were when you recorded that, There's a youthful exuberance to, you know, your first little EP or first thing that you put out. Those songs are talking about getting ready to break out of this generally small town, become big, or to go to the big city, do whatever that just feels bigger than what any high school kid's experience is, you know? But it's always awesome to keep it out and just to see the difference between the next and the next. Because if you're true to yourself, you know, you look back 7 years ago to what you all started as, or when you were kids, even younger, and then you looking at the growth and going, holy crap, we're finally finding our sound. But it takes all those things to get to the point where you go, what is it? Because I imagine like 7 years from now, there's a possibility you could look back and go, we're just now figuring out who we are.
Oh yeah, you could do the same. I think you're playing an infinite game. You
on
know,
a different
like it never
scale.
Ends. It never ends.
It's like a different tier almost as you get older. You
yeah.
know, like
every time you think you have it figured out, you don't.
No, exactly right.
Yeah.
I mean, I think that's like a like a parallel to life in general anyways.
Yeah. Hopefully you don't want to stay where you are right now.
No, yeah. I would not.
Change is the only way to grow.
Unless you're somewhere that you like, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, there's parts of us that it's like, but you still, get these four dudes in a room and you put like instruments, it's going to sound a certain way. Like you're not escaping that. But at the same time, like,
change is good.
Yeah, I'm not like closed-minded to whatever.
The person that doubt themselves is not really that good of a person. Well,
I don't know about these
guys. You have to doubt yourself.
We don't even listen to that much, like, I don't even listen to that much rock music in a day. I listen to Donny Hathaway and, like, Wolfpack and Mac Miller and stuff.
Oh, Wolfpack,
dude. Like, everything.
Snarky Puppy. I mean, jazz stuff. Yeah,
we hear
like,
Snarky Puppy quite a bit, don't we?
I don't know. It's different, but I don't like, I've learned how to not really let it influence my writing. I let it influence like drumming, but then I just, you know what I'm saying? Like, I've got a formula when I sit down to write a Bedford song. It's got to be some kind of catchy riff or something. Like, we've created a formula recently, I think.
Ah, now that's going to be interesting because the question, the question will be, and I guess moving forward is, do you stick to a formula or do you allow yourself to evolve and let that formula evolve with what you guys, see as growth towards the next thing?
I think it's the latter.
Yeah.
If you look at a band like Queen, like they had like cross charters in different genres, you know?
Oh, yeah.
Variation is the name of the game at that point. Like,
yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And I definitely think it's like, it also was important to, at this point, I guess, separate the music from the business part. The business part always has a formula. And if you don't follow the formula,
that's kind of how I look at it.
You are completely, it doesn't matter how good you are. If you're not good at the business side, not good at marketing, if you can't promote yourself.
Yep. That's why I say a formula, because we have to have something, right? Like right now, I look at it, we don't have nothing, but I look at it in the grand scheme of where this band wants to go. Yeah. Like we have a long way we want to go. So it's like picking something to create a formula to know how to market and say, this is us at least now.
Yeah.
I don't know about later, but now is what it is.
We have to age like Robert Plant. You know, he's not out there playing like Led Zeppelin.
Oh, he's not writing Whole Lots of Love.
No, I seen Robert Plant at Bourbon and Beyond not too long ago. You know, he just put out that album with Alison Krauss. Yeah, and it's great.
They're phenomenal together.
He's finding certain veins and hitting them now. He's dropping his tunings lower so he can sing those same songs.
But you can still hear like the things that he would, like you can still hear 20-year-old Robert Plant.
His voice.
You're probably capturing the soul of the what he creates when he opens his mouth and
but
sings.
And
he's
over
got
time.
Oh, completely evolved.
Yeah. I mean, it's like the same with like Elton John after he had vocal surgery. He's like, yeah, his voice completely changed in the 80s, but it's still like you there's certain nuances that also make each singer, you know, unique as an individual.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But also like as big as a turn as that, because like for the longest time I didn't know that was the same person.
Yeah.
Like if you listen to it and it's your first time listening, you're not going to catch on.
I think Elton John's like Pink Floyd. It's a band name, you know. It's not one dude.
Yeah.
So, you know, you all talked about kind of the having a game plan with songwriting and the marketing aspect of it, and in particular these days, you guys are in a an ever-changing situation, because not only is it do we have to write the music, and we are as well, Brad. We're in, you know, Tia's in here doing videos, and Spencer's shooting some videos today. We're adding Brent to help us do these things, but the evolution of it is not only do you have to market the music or the podcast or whatever, but you got to do the social medias. You've got to do all these different aspects that necessarily isn't what we're good at. I don't know about you guys, you know.
That's our biggest.
Yeah, it's like if you're good at music, generally you hope to have, like you pray to have one dude in the band that loves to do the intricate stuff. So, you know, you kind of have somebody that goes, here's what we got to do. Here's what we got to stick to. Here, we got to get these videos out. We're on a daily or every other day. How do you manage that aspect of it as long as, because that's not even talking about booking shows and making sure that you are all
the
together.
The general logistics of the band. Like Tristan does all the booking.
It's been
right
years
now
to figure out how to do it, though, because, like, I would say just now, like literally this week we were talking about this, like how to make it work. Because I sit down and brainstorm, like what are the jobs of a band? Like besides tuning, besides sitting down and like obviously finances, that's a general thing. It's just part of the business. Songwriting, part of the business. Like besides that kind of stuff, what departments do we have? We have merch, marketing, we have booking, we have PR, and we have content creation.
Jesus.
That's
right.
It.
Hey, will you write those down for us?
That's
hey,
those.
You need to write a book, Tristan.
No kidding. Hey, you want to do
but
it?
There. But there's we'll two there. Sections of each. There's general, which has to be all four people involved,
yep.
Like finances.
Yep.
And then like there's subsections that are delegated to one person.
To a person.
Yeah. And they're primarily in control of it, but everyone should be able to be like,
oh, yeah.
Take a, like, yo, I gotta
dash. We literally had this discussion, me and Trevor, because he was like, well, I was like, I want to just kind of, I want to delegate the booking back to me. And Trevor's like, well, what if I have ideas? And it's like, well, look, everybody, like, Colby does marketing. Every person's like, I'm going to make a post today. That's three people doing the same thing. Same with booking. It's just a way to miscommunicate. But should Trevor be able to say, I think the post should say this. Yes, that's just general band stuff. So, like, for booking, I still want people's help going, dude, I saw this venue. I found the contact. But then it's one person to go, I sent the email. I know what day it is. Because it just gets confusing when you got multiple people doing stuff like that. And it's not even like a... I don't think there's anybody in this band that's power hungry for it, because I'll be honest with you, the minute that somebody came and did it better than me, I'm out, bro.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
I'll be there at this time with my drumsticks, and that's where we'd be. But like, until that point, it is a...
I'm pretty competitive on the marketing and merch stuff.
If
you come in, I'm going to go hard.
Yep. Yeah.
I'm a territorial being though. Yep. So like, if I was a dog, I'd just piss on everything.
I get that.
As long as he's not pissing on the merch, man.
Yeah, everything is like...
We wash it. Yeah, it's cool.
That's a special bonus hit, you know.
Yep.
People might pay for people's sweat, but...
Well, and it's important to find something, I think, because you don't want to be the guy that just shows up. That shows up. You don't want to be that guy.
Yeah.
Because shows up. You don't show to be the guy that just shows up.
The fish one.
You don't. Fish one. You don't. Sauce. Because that's... I mean, it's cool, you know, if you're having a rough week or a rough spell in life, we all are going to be the guy that just shows up a couple times. But long term, you want to be, it's just, I don't know, I think it's important to be like, man, I contribute to the Bedford brand. Like,
yeah,
you know,
everybody has to contribute.
It's, you know, like, it's tough finding your, like, niche in all of it. Like,
finding your role.
Yeah. I don't, I'm not like a brain guy. I'm more like, send me there and do that thing right there. I like using my hands, you know.
That is
such a nice. I understand.
I am
that.
A brain guy. I don't take it too far and think that I don't use
like
my
being,
brain at
it's
all.
It's nice to be set.
I just, my skill set, you know, is with, you know, my hands and stuff. So like finding stuff to like work hard at is like, where do you even start?
You, like lists.
You know, it's
you
like.
You're text. More of a, hey, let's help us unload this stuff. Let's get set up, do all these other things instead of the... I get that. And man, honestly, those are a lot of times some of the more valuable people in the band that don't just disappear as soon as the sets are over with or as soon as you get to the venue and take off. And
yeah, he's like a Marine. He's just first in, last out.
Pack up their own stuff and go home.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. See you later. You don't want that.
Yeah, I was...
Well, I mean, everybody's going to have different stuff to carry. So it's just, you know, as long as everybody's in their car and nobody has to do...
Nobody's hanging.
More than anybody else.
A lot of stuff. You know. So Colby... And he has the merch. So Colby usually is self-contained. He's getting... Colby gets the Colby stuff, including the merch. Drums, it's like... They tear down their stuff, and then they help me.
Mm-hmm.
We've got a really good formula to it.
Pretty much, it's like we tear down our stuff, and then once that's loaded up, while we're loading up, we sling the drum cases to Tristan.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
And then
we've got a whole loading out system.
And then,
they can help with the hardware. That's.
It's mainly just setting up and then helping them carry them to the car. You know, like.
Yeah, but Trevor's always the guy that's like, we need this done now.
It might be
like, we need somebody to do this now, and all of us are busy, or
just where I come from.
Yeah, and like, you're just like, all right,
bam, 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 bam,
bam, bam, bam, bam, bam, bam, bam, bam, bam, bam, bam, bam, bam, bam, bam, bam, bam, bam, bam, bam, bam, bam, bam, bam, bam, bam, bam, bam, bam, bam, bam, bam, bam, bam, bam, bam, bam, bam, bam, bam, bam, bam, bam, bam, bam, bam, bam, bam, bam, bam, bam, bam, bam, bam, bam, bam, bam, bam, bam, bam, bam, bam, bam, bam, bam, bam, bam, bam, bam, bam, bam, bam, bam, bam, bam, bam, bam, bam, bam, bam, bam, bam, bam, bam, bam, bam, bam, bam, bam, bam, bam, bam, bam, bam, bam, bam, bam, bam, bam, bam, bam, bam, bam, bam, bam, bam, bam, bam, bam, bam, bam, bam, bam, bam, bam, bam, bam, b
scared me.
Yeah. He's the guy that'll show up at like 3 a.m.
It's the dude that you're like, I'm broke down. Yeah. I need you. All right.
Yeah. Yeah,
like, he's got cell service. That's who I call.
Yeah,
and what a lot of people, I don't know if a lot of people, but at least a decent amount of people don't realize is like drums are not just one instrument. Okay,
that's true. Like, I see
it's
what
the
you're
equivalent
saying.
Of about four guitar rigs.
Yeah, oh,
yeah. Really, yeah. Every time you,
I mean,
that.
Unless you're cymbal, like a super cymbal, minimalist drummer hi-hat. With just one kick, right. One snare, yeah. One hi hat, and one crash.
Hey, you get me a good 3-piece drummer that can play them, man. That's cool, for too, sure. For setup
groove.
Alone.
Yeah.
That's
also nice to have an ill-paired set.
Today, like, I like playing kits like this because I normally with Bedford play, like, the more the better. I like, one day, I imagine I'll have one of those big Neil Peart kind of drum things one day, hopefully. But it's fun doing these because it's like an exercise in, I don't know, it puts you in a different frame of mind. You know what I'm saying? Like, you don't have as many options.
But I tell you what, man, that little drum kit right there will tell you if you can just stay in the pocket, because that's what it's all about in that room. And
Nate Smith,
it is a Nate Smith.
We used
gig.
To do a whole bunch Picking of acoustic
it.
Shows.
We did, and that was
he would go real minimalist.
I would go snare, hi hat, and bass drum, and that's all you need, really. Mm-hmm.
Well, you went even simpler for that whenever we started doing duos.
Oh yeah, For
you
a
did
while,
you did a cajon with a kick pedal attached to it. And one of those snare
boxes. I would play acoustic and then bass drum, snare drum.
Did you have a turnaround kick pedal? All right, dude. So
one of those two. But I actually I would bring a bass drum.
Oh. Okay.
Because there were some songs where I didn't need to play like acoustic, and on those I would just. So then you could boom.
Never thought about that.
But yeah.
Hey, let's listen to a song.
All
let's
right, man.
Tell us about Sound of Everything.
This is one I wrote. It's, it's kind of like changed meaning for me, but in general, I just think it's about enjoying music. Yep. It's just enjoying
gratitude.
Music. Gratitude. A lot of people associate this song with Remy the Rat. Ratatouille for some reason. And I don't know. I can't remember why.
Played a show
you announced it at the Burl.
What did I say?
You said playing music with people is like, or playing music is like Ratatouille, you know, it's like everyone can cook.
That's at Moondance, ain't
it? Oh, I did say
we
that.
We played a show at the Burl and people just started
I don't
shouting
know where it started
Ratatouille.
At, but like,
and then now
people at the Burl.
Now people are like, Ratatouille.
And then the only time I think we ever got booed was when I said into the mic afterwards, I think at the Burl, I've never watched Ratatouille, and I still haven't.
Hold on. Spencer, is that true? He was there. He said, I was there for that show. Story confirmed.
Yeah, yeah. We have a witness. I've never seen Ratatouille.
Let's check it out. Sound of Everything.
Yeah.
That right awesome. There is a
the
song.
Show that they were
that was the
yelling
show.
Ratatouille.
That was the Burl show.
That was it? Oh, yeah. Man, that was awesome.
That was the Burl show.
So what was your recording set up there?
We had Fat Cave Studios, come and record us.
Yeah, and we doubled the miking on everything except the vocals. Mm-hmm. So pretty much like the vocals is like a raw kind of thing.
Yeah.
And then, you know.
All right, question. You wouldn't want to do that. They have the stems of that show? Like the individual tracks still, I wonder?
Yes.
I wonder if you could just go in and lay some vocals over top of it, but it wouldn't be live, so it wouldn't be the same.
The funny thing about that one was
That's exactly what we did.
So when we recorded that, the Burls, so everything was double mic except vocals. He was like, you know what, we'll trust on the vocals. But what Sam at Fat Cave was recording at was, I think, at 48K. Okay. But the Burls board was at 44.1.
Okay.
So all the vocal tracks are literally just compressed a little, like, I think shrunk. Yeah, I think they're shrunk, like, you know, over 10 minutes, a vocal track would be 9 minutes.
No kidding.
Yeah, so like...
That is as compressed.
And like to fix it without recording over it, you'd have to lengthen it, then it becomes super grainy.
Yeah, yeah, and it's just like... So we did go through, but we listened to it and we tried to get it to the best of our ability. I mean, there's always a margin for error.
There were moments that we were like, damn, I don't want to put that in there because I could sing it better now. Mm-hmm. And what's the most authentic thing to do right now? Leave it in because that's what we did then.
Or even like moments that like I can't replicate that.
Yeah.
You know, it's just like a big, you know, you can't replicate that.
Yeah, you can't. It just happens.
You just sound stupid when you do it. But I mean, for like, you know, for
all intensive purposes, yeah, all intensive purposes. It works. I mean,
it definitely works.
My thing with it is we needed to get something out. You know, we took 3 years off from this band and, you know, like I'm grateful for that recording. Would I do it again if I could? Of course. Because I feel like you could do it better. I really do. And it was a lesson though, because we've talked about this that night. You've got 300 people, 250, however many there was, and it's hard to remember, oh yeah, just play the songs right. You know, like, our focus became...
You
got
to remember not to suck.
Yeah, like, we were putting on a great show. I'd stand by the performance there, but it was a bad night to press the big red button, in my opinion. I mean, it's still good. Like, again, that's never going to come off. We are going to release that. I stand by it. It happened. Because I believe you don't look at music that way. It happened. You know, like, enjoy it that
everybody,
it happened.
I think everybody should listen to it.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah.
I do.
You know?
But also, like, we did go into this whole thing, that whole night, thinking, all right, we're doing a live record. All right. Let's boil it down to the most basic thing. When someone says, you know, there's a show here, what do you say when you say you're going to go to it? Let's see a show. It's visual. It's a visual art, as honestly more than it is, an auditory experience,
especially live music.
Live music specifically,
and this was intended to book shows.
And, you know, it may be even more so a live rock show,
rock and roll, especially.
It's 70% visual, 30% music. Like, I mean, you take some of our most iconic bands. Let's take the Rolling Stones for example. Yep. The music, let's be honest, is not that great.
Sloppy a lot of the time.
But, like, they, as a live band, are just so over the, like, not over the top, but, like, they
energetic.
Hit the mark.
They were sexy.
And same thing, like, I mean, like.
You got to see it.
We can get, like,
that's
really true with, like, Dave Matthews, where it's, like, they're not known. You don't listen to the studio Dave Matthews. You don't. You listen to live Dave Matthews. That's where they shine, because they put on a show that they can't do in the studio.
This was intended to get us, like, we needed to fill in the EPK with something better, you know? And, like, with something. We didn't have anything.
We had nothing.
And now this is, like, I think that with the video can get us some shows.
Well, and I don't know if their corresponding video and audio, but when I was doing, you know, just a little bit of pre-show research and listening... Listening on Spotify, and then I went to the Instagram and watched y'all at the Burl, and I was like, holy shit, man. That looks like a show. That looks like a ton of fun, and to be in that room would be unbelievable, because it looked... Did you see the video? Did you get a chance to watch it? if you get a chance, people that are listening to Brad too, anybody that does, go watch the Instagram clip of you guys at the Borough.
It's also a YouTube. We have
it's on YouTube.
It's on YouTube.
It's on YouTube now.
That song releases Wednesday. That's all we just listened to. And we've already got the next song and the song after that that we're playing today on this part is, those are the two songs we've already released, Jump Into the Sun and Don't Lie to Me.
All right.
So you can go find those right now.
Well, man, the visual experience, like you said, going to see a show, you can tell just on the video that is going to be out by the time this is out, that it's a show, man. It's an energy. And that is, when you're going out to, like, I want to go experience a night on just listening to good music and feeling like being a part of something, that's what that room looks like. And it does translate through the video. And I think it translates through the audio experience as well.
Yeah.
But 70-30, man, you see it and hear it. It just makes you want to get out and go to the next one.
Yeah. And like a good kind of like addition to that is like to further reinforce like the 70-30 thing is like you do have bands that are really about the music.
Mm-hmm.
Let's take the oldest one, Pink Floyd, for example. They didn't move around a whole lot, but their light show.
Visual.
It's like you can make up for those things. You don't have to be AC/DC.
There's all kinds of visuals in their show. You don't have to need lights. Maybe they're not moving at all. Maybe there is no show.
Maybe you're just tripping out the whole time.
Maybe you're not even watching Pink Floyd.
But like you don't have to be AC/DC or Guns N' Roses running around, you know, like smashing stuff all the time. But, you know, like and it's really more achievable at a later point. You know, it's like at the low grade tier of touring and stuff, you don't have a lighting guy with you all the time that does a light show. You know, I think there's one band that we played with, Vintage Pistol, that did. And
they brought their own rig. That's the only local/regional band I know that has.
Yeah.
That's like it's a requirement.
They're not local.
They're out of Arkansas or something.
Yeah, Arkansas.
Why were they?
They're all over, dude.
But they play here a lot.
They do play in Kentucky a lot. They really do.
But it just further reinforces the point that, like, for any of those, you know, people in bands that are listening to this, you know, it's like, don't think that you have to just, you know, all right, I got to get my workouts in, you know, I got to, you know, go on and just absolutely blaze it as far as, like, burning carbs, essentially.
Mm-hmm.
No, it's just like, as long as you could give something for someone to look at and be like, that's cool. That's badass.
Oh, yeah. I just think it's just get into the song. Like, get out of your own. It solves itself. Like, you're playing, your stage presence, all that works together to just enjoy it. You be grateful for the moment. Be in the moment. It's hard.
I really like, you know, like, watching hits. Like, if there's a big crash cymbal or something, Colby will, like, emphasize that visually with his moves at the same time as it's doing it musically. Like, it's almost scripted because it's the music, but it's not.
It happens naturally if you're like in the right mindset. I know that, like, if I get myself in the mindset of, like, I don't give a fuck. Like, I don't give a fuck what anybody thinks. I like my music and I stand behind it. Like,
yeah.
Kind of, well,
I look better on stage. Yeah. I sound better most of the time when I do that too.
And the touch up on something that we talked about earlier, but just then as well, is like you like your music. So like when we're talking about, you know, feeling like the imposter syndrome kind of thing, where it's like we haven't discovered our identity yet. It's like if you love what you do and you love the songs and you believe in them, they're going to be received well if you believe in your song. No matter what it is.
Well, and it allows you to do what Sam just said, kind of melt into the moment instead of worry about what you look like if you're trying to force the song on somebody else. Because at some point, if you believe in what you're doing and you can get out of the way of being there and just showing, you know, that whole stage presence scenario.
And we found that, like, recently when was it that we stopped playing... covers. 2 months ago, we stopped playing covers. Hard, like a hard stop. The only time we'll do it is like private parties, weddings and stuff.
But, big money.
But we'll play every bar, every venue, every bar, everywhere we play, we are playing originals. And that's to me, that's been the one of the biggest differences.
It's helped us out more than like,
because it's proof. Like, we'll go to Henry Clay's first time we're at Henry Clay's, we played a bunch of covers and some originals, good crowd, 150. Second time, about the same, more originals. Third time, we played nothing but originals. The fourth time, the crowd had like,
the retention.
That's
rate
what had grown. Was like that's what grew it. Was the fact that we came up and played nothing but originals the second, like the third or fourth time, it was like 250. We'd gained that many people.
Mm.
The last time we played there, people like lined out the door. I mean, it's
what's hard about it is like, I'm not saying we play at Applebee's. I'm just using Applebee's as a
okay.
What's hard
Applebee's has rats
is going to Applebee's in this family environment and waking them up and like
that's
you
well
know, getting yourself in like
that's
this
a matter
is a
of
show
getting out of those types of gigs. Like, it's a slow process. Yeah. As the booking person, it's very difficult because we are like it's
it
hard
is, yeah.
But like, because we also like,
it's hard not to play.
This
a burger
is all
joint
of ours main source
but
of
if
income.
If a burger joint is paying you $600,
that's what I'm saying. It's like, this is all of our main source of income. So it's hard when that we have, I'm not going to name drop them, but we have venues we play where we're like, we do not belong here. Like, everybody knows it. Everybody knows it's a country bar. It's a honky tonk, dude. Like, what are we doing here? But yet,
they've got a brick.
But yet, still, those gigs, you'll have about 20 to 35, maybe even 50. Bedford wearing t-shirt, you know, Bedford fans that drove to the honky tonk are like, we don't care. You guys are playing. Like, that'll happen, man. I mean, so it works. Like, it's slow, but it works. And I found most of the cool opportunities are kind of fadish, like this. You know, it's just like, hey, I got a cancellation. Hey, what do we do? Like, that's most of the time, I didn't do anything to make anything happen. Like, the coolest gigs I've ever booked, I just felt like, wow, thank you, gods of rock. You know, like, that just fell
thanks,
in
Jay
my
Black
lap. It just fell right in my lap. And all thank I got to do is go, sure, we'll be there. You know, like.
and like, not too long ago, we achieved a goal that we didn't think we needed to have, but we achieved it. And it was, like you're talking about honky tonks, we pissed off a honky tonk place.
First time we got booed.
Yeah.
First, like, truly as all of us.
It was nice.
But we didn't get, like, booed
no,
or anything like
no,
that.
Like, again, there was
somebody,
35
but,
people in our
but
show.
Somebody
here
was walking out the door and they said, God, those guys sucked. It was the greatest moment in my life.
I was like
oh,
that is a
yes
goal. As a rock band,
because we didn't belong there.
As a rock band, if you don't piss off the hardcore honky tonk the crowd, then, like, come on, you ain't rocking hard enough.
I agree.
How did you end up there? I mean, what got you there?
We played there for years. Oh, yeah. Okay. And the owner's a really nice guy.
But the last
they
time we
well
played there, we played mostly covers. It was
yeah, the last time
80
we had
to 90% covers.
It was all Hank Williams Jr.
No, it was still rock.
It was still rock.
I mean, we played originals, but it was mostly covered.
It was like Allman Brothers,
and it was
rock. It's like Allman Brothers and like Hotel California, and you know, all the things that you would expect a really pretty much if you're a rock band in a country bar, you're going to play Southern rock because that's the happy medium. So we played basically a bunch of Southern rock.
My wife went down to Nashville a while ago, and she was like, it was like 2 months, and she was like, 10 different bars. She's like, every one was Bedford 3 years ago. Like, every single, like, playing the exact same sets. So it's like, that's not going to get you anywhere. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Like, that you're just, there's so many of us in that boat. But we've kind of, at least with its original music, like, and I'm on Instagram a lot and stuff, and I see a lot of, like, bands that are trying to get, you know, about in our league sponsored posts on the band account. I hear a lot of bands that sound like other bands I know from around here. I don't hear a lot of people that sound like us. I just don't.
Yeah.
That could be a good thing or a bad thing.
Not to be conceited or anything, but it's like, it's a way, like, even as an individual, you got to know your worth. Mm-hmm. And like, if you can like realize, hey, we got something unique, then take it and roll with it. Run with it. Sprint, marathon it.
There's
you know,
there's
keep,
something
keep
to be said about that, man. Yeah. I really truly believe that, like you're talking, there's if you want to play covers, you know, that's all well and good. But there are bands that's their bread and butter. They do the party circuit and do the clubs. And I mean, there's one.
Those guys are needed.
Yeah, and there's we have a few of them in town where like that is what they do, and they do it awesome. They do it phenomenally, and it's. But I would imagine that is, you know, we're doing this for money. We're doing this for that. I don't know that you would get the satisfaction, especially if you're a writer and want to create. There's nobody that can sound like what you write, regardless if it is in a vein of rock or this or that. It's still your own thing. You're still creating. And I just feel like, man, especially nowadays, you look at, like, you mentioned the Allman Brothers. How many Allman Brothers bands are there? The, you know, cover bands. I mean, because, you know, I'll get $1,500 to go play just Allman Brothers music tonight and dress like them and do all those things. There's something to be said about it. It's great. But is it original?
You know, I love hearing Schofield and, like, these guys playing their songs. Like, if I watch, you know, some of my favorite guitar players, there's gonna be a...
Well, it's okay to throw a cover in. We will get there eventually. Honestly, right now and for the foreseeable future, we have to break what people think about us, because everybody thinks they know us from Whipping Post. They know us from Floyd Bedley.
There's a big difference in throwing in a cover or playing a show where we're going to play Four Eyes and we're going to throw in our originals. Or we're going to try to sneak in an original and hope that it sounds enough like is good enough or loud enough or upbeat enough that where people still like it and don't disappear off the, you know. So it's always a balance. It's always a balance. But especially like taking that step that you guys just kind of took to get, look, we've done this thing, but we're finally found our thing. We know what we sound like. We know our direction. We all have our pieces. This brand and company that we've created has got all the parts and everybody's got their role. And you've got the sound. And once you get to the point where Sam was talking about, to where you can just, you don't feel like you're an imposter. You don't feel like what you're doing, you don't love. So I think it takes all of that, all of those emotions that you have about being on stage and just being able to throw it all away and get into it, which creates the videos that you are getting ready to release where people just are going to see it and just be in immediately.
Yeah. Yeah. And absolutely, like, touching, like, on last bit of, like, the cover thing is, like, there is going to be a point where, like, yeah, you can throw one in, but, like, do something, at least for us in our mindset, is, like, do something a little bit more obscure.
Mm-hmm.
Or if it's, like, a big moment, like a historical moment in time, which is hard to kind of tell if you're living in a historical moment.
Yeah, you just throw it in the night of.
But, like for example, like, you know, you know, something really crazy just happened and you play What's Going On by Marvin Gaye.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And it's, like, you know, either you do something obscure or you do something that really, truly just absolutely interlocks every single human being's spirit.
Yeah.
It's a relative, you know, thing to the moment.
And something that really just is uplifting.
Well, yep. And there's also going to be those nights where it doesn't really matter about uplifting or any of that stuff, but you're at the end of the set, you've played everything, there's 400 people there looking at you and they don't want to go home yet. And you're like, all right, let's play this old cover that we used to Halen kill.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
And just kill it and then walk off stage and burn your instruments. I don't know.
Yeah. Those are fun.
Yeah.
Those are fun.
Like, oh,
when you
dude.
Get to the end of a gig when you've played all of your songs.
Nobody wants to leave.
Yeah. Nobody wants to leave and you just pull out, you know, the Forbidden Freebird.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. And then kill it for 47
Freebird
minutes.
Freebird costs $1,000, though.
Bro, you do.
I got to get tipped $1,000 to wait to Freebird.
That was Brown Eyed Girl for me, man. That was Brown Eyed Girl.
Oh, dude, we had that one. That was one we did in high school for.
Yeah.
The song makes me sick.
Anytime I hear that.
We're at the point.
We almost burned everything. I think I just got a headache. Like, we did destroy. Like,
we're at the point where I guarantee if you took this band and said, all right, here's a cabin for 10 days. You can't leave. Write the rest of the songs you've all been working on. We'd have another 30, 40 songs. Like, that's where we're at.
Two, three albums.
That's where we're at, where it's like, we just... I've probably got 15. He's probably got, I don't know how many cooking. I know got several cooking. He's got 20 on his computer cooking. It's like, the only reason we're not playing those is because we haven't rehearsed them yet.
Just
like,
not
we just
ready.
Literally haven't.
They're cooking, man.
It would take
those
about
are cooking.
3 hours
still,
to
we're
learn
still
it.
Seasoning that shit.
Sam?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Hey, Sam, if you upgrade your CPU, your computer probably won't be cooking.
I have a new hard drive in my Amazon cart.
Oh!
You better get it, bro.
Hey, one swipe that thing, man.
I got it, and it's worth it. It's worth it every single dime.
Yeah. There you go.
Hear another tune, man.
All right.
Tell us about Jumping to the Sun.
That's a early one of ours. That's on content. That's on Trip to the Sun. Trip to the Sun. Yeah, that's the album. But that's one we wrote in college.
This one's about going to space. It quotes Neil Armstrong, right?
Every verse is about something different. Yeah. And Jumping to the Sun just means chasing your ambition at the moment.
Yeah. But there's a commonality between all the verses, too.
Oh, there is. It's space related.
And, at least in that.
It's space. There's a sun involved. But it's kind of like the Icarus, don't fly too close to the sun thing.
Also, didn't the verse, like Trevor's verse, change for the live record?
Trevor changed his verse, and then I sing what he used to sing, and then you sing the third verse that he sang, and then he sings the fourth verse.
Basically the Highwaymen.
Oh, wow.
This is the Highwaymen song.
I fly a starship.
In one shot.
One shot is going to be fun and challenging.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're going to challenge our one microphone recording
skills.
Oh,
we won't do this song. We thought the drummer can't sing today.
This would be a really cool drinking song later, and it's take a shot every time you hear Jumping to the Sun.
Oh my God, you'd be
that's
dead.
Like 50 shots.
Oh no.
Let's check it out. Jumping to the Sun. Yeah, I love it.
Yep.
Already.
Bass. Sam's dancing over on the bass, man.
Bass sounds good too.
Yeah, it does.
I thought I did too much.
It was a lot.
I'm a little self-conscious about it.
I think
Sam stays self-conscious.
Oh yeah, you gotta stay a little low. Keep those expectations low, and everything's awesome.
Perfect attitude for a bass player.
I think my goal for tonight is to see how many times I can make Spencer crack up.
Well, he's an easy target.
It's easy. Yeah.
Is that another drinking game? Is that another drinking game?
Well, it can be.
Look, all you gotta do is say armpit. See?
You got it. You got it.
Armpit.
The liquor king is at work.
I didn't know about armpit.
That's a cool little trick.
Well, they do smell.
83.2 in here, fellas.
Woo. All right, fellas. Our listeners that want to follow you guys a little more closely, where do they find you?
can find us on Facebook, Instagram, and TikTok. Facebook is YouTube, Bedford Band. And well, yeah, I'm getting around to it.
You didn't say it fast enough.
Well, I'm sorry for trying to please here. All right. Facebook at Bedford Band. We do just go by Bedford, but Facebook won't let us change our name because Bedford is too much like a place in North Carolina. It's really, really strange. Mm-hmm. But we roll with it. Then Instagram is at Bedford Band Official, and TikTok is also at Bedford Official. So we got like three different tags going on.
Make it real easy, huh?
Yeah. Make it real easy. We make it real easy. And then Bedford is on YouTube as just Bedford.
Congratulations. Yes.
Yeah. But
we got
the handle is at Bedford Official. So, but the name is just Bedford. And like if you look up Jump Into the Sun, Don't Lie to Me, or The Sound of Everything, you will also find the live videos of the Burl. And, you know, as we promote those are going to pop up in the algorithm at the top. Yep. So, like, there's no scrolling down, you know, like eight pages to find, you know, this brand new page that just came up.
We'll be releasing that whole Burl show on YouTube.
Yeah. The whole Burl show is going to be released every Wednesday, you know, until I think it caps out around the 1st of March, you know, somewhere around there. That's when we run out of songs. If we did more, we'd go longer. But we didn't.
We'll have some kind of other live record dropping over the summer. And then we're also recording a studio record in March.
Yeah. And, right on. And also, we do have a website that I do take pride in because I work on it.
You made it. Baby.
Yeah, it's my baby. it's www.bedfordofficial.com. On there, you can find all the dates. I don't post all the dates on Facebook because of how the algorithm works. If you post them too far out, they get lost out in your feed. You don't see them. But just go to our website. And you will see every single date that we have confirmed on our end.
And do you have links to all those social medias through bedfordofficial.com?
Yes. Okay. Yes. On the website.
That might be the way to go then, bedfordofficial.com.
I try to get everyone to go to the website.
Is there a link to the YouTube on there?
Yes.
Long answer short, www.bedfordofficial.com. Bedfordofficial.com.
/ OnlyFans.
That took a while.
Yeah, that took too long.
All right, guys. Not we're gonna
short
go,
answer. Yeah. We're gonna go out with "Don't Lie to Me." You mentioned "Don't Lie to Me." Tell us about that one.
It was like an Albert King video that I seen called "Don't Lie to Me," and he was playing with Stevie Ray Vaughan.
Ah, man,
yeah.
And kind of wrote this like chorus type thing, and then was like, "Okay, well." This verse and stuff would fit after this little chorus. So it's kind of like a splinter.
Who wrote the song originally?
Originally, it was like Tampa Red.
Yeah, it goes back to like 46 or something. It's like a really old song.
Is it in the public domain?
It's public. That's public domain.
Oh, yeah.
And it's, you know...
Sweet. Not just because, like, we did that, but also sweet. You know, everybody cool else can do their own unique take on it because, like, I think the Beatles are not far off from that either.
They're not.
So, like, how many versions of, like, I'm going to... Well, actually, no. They didn't write Twist and Shout. That's the Isley Brothers.
I Want to Hold Your Hand?
I Want to Hold Your Hand. Yeah. They did write that. There you go.
All right.
That's a common misconception on that Beatles record that... You know, there's a good amount of covers on that people don't realize.
Oh, yeah, that original stuff for sure.
But, you know, there's some Carl Jung inspiration in the second verse. He's like a writer.
This is one of our bluesier songs.
And it's like one of his quotes.
Albert King, Steve Ray Vaughan, it better be, man.
It's if you took blues and put it on steroids.
Yeah, that's what I would say. Yeah.
All right.
But, like, the thing is like, their version was very major and it sounded happy, so we did
You took care of that. Yeah. You made it bluesy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You put the blues in it.
You know, don't lie to me.
Yeah. It was too happy. It was way too happy.
It was.
Don't lie to me.
All right.
Let's check it out, man.
Well, fellas, we appreciate you hanging out with us for a while, man. We're going to shoot some one shots.
Thank you all.
Absolutely. Here it is. Don't Lie to Me.